All right, so you will never make headway dealing with unbelievers if you forget that unbelievers are suppressing the truth. They know God. They cannot help but know God because their very existence and ability to think and process information are dependent on him, as Acts 17, 24 through 28 talks about. It's not because you have such great arguments. You don't need them. God has made himself known. Everyone should look at the created world and give praise to God. That's why God can make these judgments on people that have never heard the gospel, because it is made known to them. What about the people in Papua New Guinea that don't have an idea of a deity? Well, did they fail to live up to the God that has revealed himself to all creation? Yes. Okay. Well, then they're judged in the same fashion that we all are. And so God can have mercy on whom he has mercy. And one of those might be to send missionaries or in some way to reveal himself. But through this kind of second age of the church age, he sent his son. And then through his son, he sent us. And so getting to this type of argumentation of, I don't have enough evidence. The Bible says that we do have enough. And so we want to believe the Bible because that's our standard.
Good. And so, Bonson tells us that when a person suppresses the truth, he asks the question, does that mean then that they're always self-conscious about suppressing the truth? When you talk to your unbelieving professor, for instance, is he or she sitting there saying, I know there's a God and I'm trying to escape that, but I'm going to lie to this person, right? And he says, no, that's not what he's saying that unbelievers do. He says, Paul says that they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They push it down. They distort it. They don't want to look at it. They rationalize it. They try to escape it, right? And so he calls this section rationalizing away what is known to be true, right? They're trying to escape it. They're trying to rationalize, right? So it may not be, they may not consciously be doing this, is the point I think that he's trying to make.
Right. And so that's why kind of the two-step approach for presuppositionalism is, okay, let's assume that your position is true. Why should I care about other people in a world where the survival of the fittest, those who are best suited for their environment and who struggle and survive under the harsh conditions will be the strongest and pass along that DNA to the next generation. So not only must we kill weak people, but we must forcefully breed with people who are of equal stature in value so that we can have a strong species that will continue to survive. Because for some odd reason, that's important. And by important, I mean, it's important to the general scope of evolution to kind of keep us going on. Although to say that might put too much emphasis on personhood within who evolution is. And so, why don't we do that? Well, because we care about human dignity, or society is best formed in this type of environment. Well, let's just try. Let's just try to do it this way, because
especially if you're claiming that nature, that's the way nature operates anyway, right? So yeah. Why are we going against it?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Gazelles might do your way of community and huddling together, but the lion comes in and takes the food out of the mouths of the tigers. And so that's perfectly fine for that. So let's continue that model. We need more lions. And thank you, tigers, for doing all the hard work. But I'm more important than you. And I'm going to go take over this other pride. But first, I'm going to kill all the children over there because they're not mine. Mm. Okay, well, by what standard are we going to say that shouldn't happen? Hold, stop, pause. I wouldn't like that. You wouldn't like that either. But I can do it.
We all agree that we wouldn't like it. Right? We have a good reason why it's bad.
Exactly. And that's the second approach. That is the second approach, is to say, but I have a reason why we have that feeling of well, that's not fair. Oh, fair out in the world is survival of the fittest, and kill or be killed, eat or be eaten. And so I don't know what this is talking about. So there's our two-step approach for presuppositionalism, is saying, let's take your standard and see if it fits with what you're saying. And then let me tell you about the better standard. And so again, that's when you have to always have the Bible in your hand, because that's the standard, and you shouldn't shy away from that, because that's exactly what you believe.